Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line Podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, your black pants party.
And Jake Latondras.
And bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line Podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur in the Duck's House. Ugh, excuse me. Start this over. 3, 2. Welcome to the End of the Line Podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur in the Duck's House Studios in Oxford, Mississippi. It is Wednesday morning. You know what that means. Jeff Foles, Bill Cooksey, and Bill is back.
That's
a lot
right.
of people happy about that.
I'm
welcome back, Bill.
Thanks, guys. I hated turning in that Mustang. That was fun, but otherwise, good to be home.
Good deal. Well, awesome.
Jeff and I took a couple of minutes last week and imagined you riding in this Mustang convertible with the top down.
With the air, the wind blowing through my stubble. And what was that intellectual deal? I don't know where y'all came up with that stuff, but
you do bring a different side to it.
Yeah, but that's just not the adjective I'd roll with.
It's a lot more intellectual than my side. I
All right, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Jeff, how are you, bud?
Good, man. Real good. Yeah, it's always good, man. I'm ready to roll this morning. Beautiful morning up here in the country and ready to roll with this.
Turkey season over with in Illinois.
It goes out today. Today is the last day. They're pretty tough right now. I know my buddy Hillbilly Jim's out today, the fifth season tag, and he had a little bad luck yesterday, so I hope he gets one this morning. So, but yeah, it's they've been pretty tough up there the last couple of weeks.
May the 15th is a closer for a lot of states.
Yeah, and I think it should be. You know, I mean, up north, you know, I mean, I know around Michigan up there, they're tearing it up there. But around here, yeah, I don't know. In my opinion, it should have been done 2 weeks ago. But yeah, we're just getting less turkeys all the time. I've seen a guy post some of the, you know, Missouri's kind of getting the same way. We just don't have turkeys we used to. You know, and it was just not. I mean, you go out to farms that used to hear, you know, 10, 15 gobblers, you know, and, you know, big farms, you know, 700 acres, and now you go up there lucky if you hear one or two, you know. So, we just don't have
them. It's the same in Tennessee, Arkansas, a lot of Mississippi. A lot of these states that were booming 10 years ago with turkeys have good areas, but, you know, they're especially Tennessee has some places that are still really strong, but most of it is way off. In places like
and that's
say,
the same
might,
with Illinois.
Yeah,
it's the same with Illinois and Missouri, I think, you know, but for the majority of both states here, you know, and I think I'm speaking for those guys, too, from what I've heard, it's just I quit hunting Missouri for that reason, you know, the tags are high and everything also. But, I mean, I'm looking out the window right now at Missouri. I'm right against it. And I just quit hunting over a few years ago, you know, because there's not as many either place, you know.
So,
yeah, it's just I don't know, you know, there's a lot of factors to it, but. A guy proposed a couple things I saw on Facebook the other day, and I've got to agree with him. You know, I mean, Missouri has a 3-week season. They have the first week you kill one bird, the second week you can kill your second bird, or if you didn't kill one, you can kill two birds the second, third week, which is a good deal, two birds. And we have five seasons, and you have to, it's a lottery you have to draw for. And it's just, I don't know, we can get, I mean, you can get three tags, you know, and I don't know. I'm to the point, you know, I like to kill them as much as anybody, but man, I think we're going to go back to one, you know, for a while and see what happens, you know, try to get these things back.
Tennessee's four birds, over-the-counter tags. You shoot jakes or gobblers, anything with a beard, or any mm-hmm. male turkey, or mm-hmm. anything with a beard. So a beard again would be legal, you know, understandably.
Right,
but,
right.
It's just, and it's fine in a lot of Middle Tennessee and some of East mm-hmm. Tennessee, where they mm-hmm. just have such stable spring breeding conditions.
Sure,
West Tennessee,
sure.
just like y'all, we, you know, we deal with flooding and all this other stuff mm-hmm. in our lower mm-hmm. country. You
right.
start killing that many, all of a sudden your carryover starts falling in a hurry.
Yeah,
so.
It does, and I think I don't really think that. I don't think that the hunting pressure so much here has killed them off. I think it's more predators and bobcats and coyotes. Mm-hmm. And we have these gnats so bad it's unbelievable, and you can't believe what they do to the chicken crops. I know what they're doing to you know, the turkeys, but to get that back, we're going to have to help them out, you know, somehow. I think, you know, we're going to have to go down to one bird or something, you know. So.
Yeah,
because now that they're getting so many killed off, there's one gobbler in that area, and you kill him, it's over. You know, I mean, so yeah, it's pretty tough. But I'm sure they'll figure it out.
I hope so. I like.
Well, Jeff, last week in last week's episode, we spent some time at the beginning. Like I said, we talked about Bill. We talked about skydiving. Jumped off into the story. You got a call from your daughter. Saying mm-hmm. that the feds have released the indictments online.
Mm-hmm.
And it was brought to my attention that there were a couple of key questions that weren't asked. I have to admit, one of them I actually edited out because you and I kind of went off on a rant, both of us, and I kind of pulled that part out thinking it might be best for both of us for it not to be there. But mm-hmm. you know what? At the end of the day, this podcast is considered media, and I'm not saying the media has any more rights as you and any more than you and I or, but this question has to be asked. There's two very important questions. Number one, and I don't know why I didn't ask this question. Like I said, these were brought to my attention by a user that listens to every one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, in those indictments, one of the things that you talked about a couple of weeks ago was the 11-year-old that hunted at your mm-hmm. club that gave
right.
testimony to the feds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Did the feds use an 11-year-old's testimony?
Well, they give an immunity plea, and they went in there, and they end up, it was in... It didn't end up as part of the deal, but I was looking through these indictments. Of course, there's 23 of them, and they're pretty almost the same thing, everyone through there, just a different date. And somewhere in there, yeah, and it's a lot of initials, so I'd have to really look. But yeah, they've used his initials and used what he told them. You know, they use that. But he's 11 years old. He's 11 years old. He's living with his dad's very, very mad and aggravated, bad divorce deal mom. So if you can put that in your head, you know. So she's mad at him. And of course, I'm victim too, probably because he hunted with me and I was friends with his dad. So I'm probably just a mess. So yeah, she let him ride it. She let him talk to him. Now, all I can say about this is this, you know, and I'm not beating up on anybody or whatever. My girlfriend's got an 11-year-old daughter, and if the feds come to this door, and that's not my daughter, but you know, it's hers, they came to my door and said, we're going to talk to them, I'd tell them to get back down the road, get off my property, you know, go get an injunction, do whatever, go to court and let some judge tell you that you can interview this 11-year-old kid, and then we'll be good with it. But until then, get out of here. Who does that? You know, they're 11 years old. You know, and
yeah.
you know, and I know a lot of guys out there, you know, probably don't have 11-year-olds. It's been so many years since they have had, but, man, these kids are, you know, they can be convinced of anything at 11 years old.
Right.
And so
it doesn't sound like this was a case. It's one thing if the child's been in some of these awful things where children are taken advantage of or whatever, but that's not the case here. They didn't need a kid to try to make a case against you. I mean, they had 23 indictments.
They already had, and I was asked that this morning, you know, I mean, I can't remember how many immunity pleas there was, but we'll get to that before all these podcasts is over, because I'm going to read them immunities sometime between now and the next four or five, whatever it is. And you'll see when you see that, why do you need this kid after you've got all these other, you got enough right here, you know, with these immunity pleas without going to an 11-year-old kid, you know, I mean, but that's just, I mean, I don't know. Boy, they're, you know, they always say that they play good cop and bad cop, and my gosh, see, I didn't, you know, and I've seen exactly what people talk about them, you know, but yeah, that's pretty heartless to go to an 11-year-old kid. Or what I always said is, it might make them mad to hear it, but they just, so be it. But you know what? If you got to base your job, you're a federal employee, a federal agent who has went to school and supposed to be a smart person, you can surely make a case on somebody without an 11-year-old kid.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I never did understand that.
It's got to be pretty easy to shake down an 11-year-old, man. If you don't tell us the truth, your mom's going to jail.
Oh, yeah.
We're sending her to North Korea. She's going to be in a slave camp. You know, it's easy to kind of shake down an 11-year-old.
Yeah, and in this case, to get them to, you know, to direct them to what you say. But, you know, there's an old saying. Yeah, you know, you can direct them to kind of where you, what you want them to say and agree with it, you know. And they have a real good way of doing that. You know, that's their job. They're trained to interrogate, you know. So, you know, they can be, you know, they can lead the question if they want. So, but, yeah, it was a pretty bad deal, you know. And the way it went down, you know, I read the questions and heard them and all this here, and it was just like, wow, really? I mean, I never can't. What I couldn't believe is the mom let them do it. You know, that was the part that really bothered me, that she let them do it. You know, but they always say there's nothing worse than the scorn of a woman. So,
yeah.
You know what they say though, Rocky, about 11-year-old kids. They say there's three things that don't lie. And you know what them three things is? They say it's 11-year-old, a drunk, and yoga pants. So I got to kind of agree with that. We got to laugh about that.
That's right. That's right. God, yoga pants. The pictures jumped in my mind, and they weren't pleasant. I'm not sure what that says about the state of my life.
Somebody told me that. Yeah, somebody told me that, so that's all I know.
All right, here's the one that I took out. Because you and I talked about this, and we talked about it probably 4 or 5 minutes last week, Jeff. And like I said, I kind of cut it out there at the end, but they convicted you in public court, you know, before even letting you know the indictments.
Uh-huh.
Early opinion, yep. Jeff. What do you think they hope to accomplish by trying it in the public court before even letting you know?
Well, it's kind of like a lawyer. I always kind of put it like this. It's kind of like you ever see a lawyer talking to a witness, and he leads them into something that he knows is going to be sustained. But strike this from the record. Well, you can strike it all you want to, but it's still there. You know what I'm saying? So it's an indictment is just a bunch of enough stuff that they can get to a grand jury, and most grand juries, as you know, will let them indict anybody over anything. And if you don't think so, if you're ever involved, and I hope nobody ever is, but they are, they'll see real fast if they can. But at that point, it went public. I mean, my biggest problem with all this was, why did they not contact me, number one, or my attorney first? Then talk this over to whatever, then let it out to wherever. But no, that wasn't the deal. They let it out public, and like I said, I heard about it on my duck hunting forum first. Yeah. So that was, you know, a pretty dirty pool, I thought. And in this, and there's a couple guys I know today going through some stuff right now, and one of them I know, and this will come out later on, one of them will probably be proven innocent on what he got done, but he's done already. His career's done because of, you know, he's done been tarnished, you know. And yeah. People seem to believe this, take their own twist on it. And if you tell one person, you tell three people, and then at that time it's all turned around. And next thing you know, the world, it's all changed. And in today's world with a computer, it's very easy to hide behind it. You know, and you can hide behind a computer and type anything you want to. And next thing you know, hundreds of thousands of people just saw that. So, and they know that, you know, so they knew that was going to happen is what I believe, you know. So let's doubt and let's bring him first.
You see it with politicians, actors, actresses, and you're a person in the public eye, and if they can scare the shit out of you, excuse that language, because that's what they're trying to do, before you even get to court, they're hoping you're predisposed to backing up and taking whatever, you know.
Well, and it's the deal. I honestly believe and again, it's me who's been through this telling you. I mean, so I'm going to have probably a different opinion. But, and there's no doubt about it, they wanted to ruin me first. Let's bring him first. Let's bring him down. We got our case. But then we'll go from there, you know. And if you ask 20 people that watch my case, and if you ask those 20 people, well, what did he actually, what did he actually go to prison for? What was his charges, what did he actually get convicted of? If you ask them that, they would tell you all these indictments probably. That's probably what they tell you. They have no clue all that, what the actual charges are. I've got them right in front of me right now. But those actual charges are a little bitty print and the fine print in the back. But it ain't, you know, so the indictments come out in big bold print right off the bat. So that's stuck in everybody's mind. So that's what he, you know, and so when I said at the very beginning, you know, of this, if you think, and a couple people, you know, come back on it, and I get it, but nobody wants to think that way, but if you think you're innocent or proven guilty, get involved in this and see. I was guilty before I ever could go to court. Yeah. I was guilty before I could even talk to my attorneys. So, you know, I mean, that's a big part of it. I mean, and I think it's all about winning, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. Every human being, that I know is competitive, but it's about to win.
I knew that we were going to be talking about this today. So I went back and did a little research. While this was going on in the old forum days, you still had a mix of social media and forum days when this was going on, but going to these niche forums, I was able to dig up a lot of stuff. And what I found out was, dude, they crucified you before any charges were ever prosecuted or
before I went to court.
They crushed you in
court.
Yeah, I mean, in the public side, they crushed you. Man, people were, you were guilty. If you read stuff that was written by a lot of people, you were guilty.
And the number one guy who crucified me is the same guy come back and was mad because I said you're guilty before you're proven you're already guilty for proven innocent on the first podcast. And I get the biggest kick. I got to laugh at it, you know, but yeah, it was done. But I knew it. As soon as I seen it and it was on the forums, all that, I knew at that point, life as I knew it was over. So
yeah.
And with that, see what happened with that, and most people don't care, but what happened with that is when them come out and got on them forums and all them people on the forums just start raving and going on, I ain't even been to court yet, and I got dealers canceling orders and all this. You know what I'm saying? So there's very few of them give you a chance. You know, there were some did. You know, I still have them today. You know, I never did care. But yeah, there were some that, boy, it wasn't very long, and I got phone calls. You know.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, we can't. Well, I ain't even went to court yet. You know. Well, I'm sorry. We got to take the product off the shelf. You know. Well, whatever you got to
do. I may have seen one message from somebody that said, "Hey, we need to kind of sit back and wait and see how this all plays out." 99 of them were, "Man, he's guilty. He deserves whatever he gets." Mm-hmm. Blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I was the Antichrist at that point. Yeah.
Once the lynch mob is out,
mm-hmm.
especially in the forum days, it was even worse than Facebook in that regard.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
there's no point in standing against them, you know.
It was just I tried, and you know, I had this conversation with one of my good friends earlier this morning. He was asking about some of this, and real early this morning we had a talk, and you know, and it was tough, but the whole thing was tough, and you had a lot on your mind. But the toughest thing was reading this, and you couldn't do nothing to protect yourself, and you'd read this crap and the lies, and they didn't even know what they were talking about and stuff and all this here, and then all the stuff that went, and there was anything you said made it worse. You just stirred it worse, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was tough. I mean, I did. I fought it for a long time on there, but and luckily I had 140-150 pro staffers at the time that got on there, you know, and a lot of them helped battle it too. But, yeah, it was, it's, now you're just drinking the Kool-Aid and you're doing it, you know, the typical, you know,
yeah,
forum stuff. But anyway, yeah, that,
you know,
was one,
Jeff,
of the toughest,
Jeff,
toughest
even
part.
Even to this day, people still think that you were you're a convicted felon.
Well, yeah, they need to look at it, but I get the biggest kick out of that. I can post up, and I got 5,000 people on Facebook, and I don't know how many on all the different Facebook pages and stuff we have right now. Post pictures on Instagram, or post pictures constantly with a gun, shooting ducks, all this kind of stuff, but then they still think you're a felon. And that just shows to me, and I'm going to use the word ignorance of the law, you know, because, I mean, if you're a felon, you ain't got a gun, you know, and I didn't. I was the third guy since the 60s in Marion Federal Prison where that ever had a misdemeanor. So... yeah, I mean, so, oh, and I hear it all, well, he couldn't have went, he got felonies, he couldn't have went there with that, and I'm not a felon, I just had a misdemeanor, two misdemeanors, so, and I've got it out here.
Let me say, Jeff and I were on the opposite side of everything in business at the time all this happened, yet I watched it in horror, you know, online, to see this wreckage that was put on, and then when you were sent to prison, and I didn't know all the ins and outs, obviously, mm-hmm. but you know, the first thing I said was, well, that's not right. And, but I want to tell folks who are listening, there are a whole lot of people in this hunting industry, from conservation to other manufacturers and all, who are right back in Jeff's camp, friends with Jeff, and all for Jeff at this point. He's not what a few of y'all seem to still be hanging on to, you know, like all of us has done some wrong, and he's going to talk more about that, I know, but I wouldn't be doing this podcast. Fred Zink wouldn't be commenting on Jeff's Facebook, you know, and the names go on and on and on. So those of you who are mired up in this, he's a convicted felon, he's an awful wildlife, this, not really. Keep on listening, y'all, and you'll learn more about it and hopefully have a better understanding of the way these things sometimes go. And that's not to say there aren't some bad people who needed to be prosecuted heavily for wildlife violations. You know, mm-hmm. we're not saying that at all.
Right. Rocky and I went over that the other day. There was a guy that caught too many trout, wasn't it, Rocky?
That's right.
And... I think he caught, it was, how was the limit? It was five, and they had, I don't know, they had 10, 100. I don't know, they had like 100 and some trout or something.
150.
150 trout, and the limit was five. And this is the kind of stuff that I was looking up when all this was going down to see what was going to happen to me, you know. And I looked all this up and said, well, heck, I'm golden. I'm good, you know, killing a few ducks. I'll be all right. And this guy, they wrote him a ticket, and he wrote him a citation, and he walked off. They took his fish. That's about the worst of it, I think. That just happened. So that's I mean, that was just out, you know, that came out. So I think it was in California. But,
yeah.
Anyway, nice. Yeah, and I'm thinking, golly, you know, that guy there, that's pretty bad, you know. But, anyway, he didn't go to prison. I think he just got instructed around the road, and he probably got a pretty stiff fine to pay, but yeah, he got a citation. So, anyway.
Hey, Jeff, before we go through those indictments, after you received the indictments, was it ever presented to your lawyer to say, hey, if you'll just admit guilt on a couple of these, we'll take that? You know, lose his hunting license for a little while. You know, did they try to plea it out with you?
Well, they baited me. After all this went down, and we had went to the first court date, and we went to, you know, to federal court the first time, and we had went and met with the guy that we talked about before. After that, you know, it's a back and forth deal right then. I mean, I don't matter what the charges are. They're trying to, somebody's trying to deal, and so they kept my attorneys all got together and wanted to meet me at my duck club, and they wanted to get a feel for what it was like at the duck club. And so we went down there, and in fact, one of the attorneys, one of the gals, she wanted to shoot a gun, and they did, and whatever. So anyway, we're sitting there and talking about this, and I'm sitting there after what we just went over about these guys with the fish. I'd seen a guy, you know, would kill all these ducks, and you can look his, you know, and I Googled all, you know, charges, and one guy lost his license for a couple of years. You know, one's a $20,000 fine, one's $7,500, and that's all I could find. And this was horror stories is what I heard compared to what I knew, you know. So they'd come down, and we're all sitting there in my duck club, you know, and I'm just sitting in a chair, and I'm just waiting for what they got to come up. Well, we got to talk to you, you know, and it's pretty serious, and they're all sitting around, four or five of them, and he said, this is when I hired the next attorney. I thought, I got to get some help. So he said, well, here's their offer. 5 months in jail, 5 months in prison, and $50,000, $60,000 fine, and lose your hunting license 2 or 3 years or something. I started laughing. I go, well, let's get serious here. They're going to be in prison time over this, you know. And they go, oh, no. And I mean, you can imagine at that point, I wilted. I mean, it was like, I didn't know they were telling a joke, being serious, or what. And I go, dude, you better be prepared for a fight. I ain't going to jail over freaking ducks. I'm not, you know. And, yeah. And then as it went on, you know, yeah, it was tough, you know, thinking about that.
In all your research, have you ever found anybody besides, let's say it this way first. You ever found anybody that went to jail over ducks in all your
research? Not over ducks. Not anything I looked. I couldn't find anybody that did it over ducks. Maybe like a day or two. And all I ever found was years ago, a guy or two went to jail, you know, went to jail like in the county, you know, city jail or county jail for a couple of days, you know. Nothing, you know. They took their boat and took their gun, took them, throw them in jail for a couple of days, you know, and just like a city deal. But never seen it. I'm not saying I know everything and researched anything. My lawyers kind of researched. We couldn't find anybody that went to prison, federal prison, you know, for this. I was in there, and there was a deer hunter in there. A guy had shot deer with the wrong tags in Iowa, but a big part of his was taxes along with it. So it wasn't just for that. Yeah. You know, so.
I can't imagine that they're
fleeing
out of prison.
Yeah, the only people I've ever heard of, it's kind of like Jeff, it's when you'll see this in old Westerns a lot. You know, do you want to pay the fine or spend 7 days in jail?
Right, right, exactly.
And I've heard of several like that, both deer and waterfowl, that it's just some local poor guy who gets busted all the time and doesn't have any money, so he just takes to jail. But it's not nothing. It doesn't equate to what we're talking about here.
Well, I'll give you an example. It happened right here at my home. And these guys, I know all these guys. They're local guys around here, and this happened. This happened a few years back. There was four of them. And it was after duck season, after goose season, They're in a public blind, okay? Not out in an island, out in a lake inside of an island. And they've got electronic collar going for specs, which is illegal regardless. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you how many ducks and geese and specs and they had and all this. And they ended up getting a, and they found the electronic collar and all this. I mean, they just drove out there and caught them. And they got a $1,500 fine and maybe some community service, and not much. And that was it. And I'd look at them and I'd go, and these are the same guys, you know, a couple, not all of them, but a couple of the same guys that were persecuting me for what I did, you know. And but I look at this situation and I'm going, now, what's fair about all this, you know? But it was the state. Now, you got to remember, some of these are state. When a state's involved, you know, it's a whole different than when the feds are involved, you know. So it's usually a lighter sentence. So
yeah.
But I got both of them, state and federal charges, so whatever, when they come down with this.
Wow.
Well, and on top of that, you had to answer for charges in Canada, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, and that was the charges in Canada came out of the immunity pleas. And for anyone, but people don't get what immunity is out there. You know, immunity is when you talk, it's like a drug dealer. You know, they bust a guy down the street down here, it's got a bunch of cocaine on him. And, you know, he's just a guy that just bought some. Well, they're going to squeeze him. Well, we'll let you out if testify against who you bought it from, you know. And that's what they're after, you know. And so the whole case was built on that. You know, it wasn't built on what they found. It was built on, it was built on the immunity stuff. So when they squeezed the guys, they told what they did, you know. And so that's where all these charges came from, is every one of these was from squeezing those guys and then, you know, and including me into their deal, you know. So that's for a lot of this didn't, that's why a lot of this got all thrown out, you know, because it was basically hearsay.
Yeah.
Now again, let's go back here. Go back. I am not admitting, hey, when I read some of these off, I'm getting ready to tell you what I did wrong here. I'm going to tell you, I'm not innocent. Yeah, you know, but again, but I didn't think I was an axe murderer. But.
I don't know many people who have hunted for any real length of time who can just flat say they're innocent of ever doing wrong. Even mm-hmm. if it was all an accident. I mean, things happen.
Well, it goes back to the party hunting. When a lot of these indictments are party hunting. it's, again, like we talked before, you know, if there was, and we talked about this last week, you know, you weren't here, Bill, but if there's, you go out there, there's five guys in a blind out there, or six guys in a blind, there's two kids involved, you know, and these kids, you know, I mean, how many kids, young kids, do you know that's going to, you know, your trap shooters probably can. But normal kids go out there, they're not going to kill their limit every day, you know, but it's the party hunting aspect. So if the ducks are flying and they're coming in your timber hole down there, Bill, and they're eating you alive up there, and there's six of you and they're all buddies, you got your kids along and all that, and if you can kill six legal limits out of there and come out of there with six limits, are you going to do that? And the kids are up shooting the whole time, you're shooting, you know, are you going to do that? Knowing that probably three of those guys couldn't hit anything and one of the kids couldn't either, but you're still coming out of there. You follow where I'm going with this? That's what happens all the time, and that's called party hunt. Do I agree with that? I don't agree with it myself, but whatever. It's the law.
I have more than one friend who claims to be a terrible shot in a group.
I'm a horrible shot.
Yeah, you know, if nothing else, I mean, as y'all know from our part of the world down here, it's the huge blinds are common. I mean, it's how we can afford to get this ground.
They are here too. Same thing.
You know, if the greatest guests are the ones who claim every bird, because you know, well, here, okay, if you're
here, it is, and you're done.
Here you go, and when they have six, they're done, and you move forward that way. And then you get down to the point of people saying, I hadn't been shooting good.
Exactly. we went through this in Michigan years ago. I was guiding up there, and they had it was a one bird limit. So we would put all the hunters together. So it might be 8-10 guys, you know, in a standing cornfield, you know, where they cut half of it, or it was alfalfa mm-hmm. on the side or something in September. And so I could not wait for the guy. There was a doctor up there, and he's pretty arrogant. And anyway, I got that one. I just walk up, grab it, hand it to him, said, "Okay, man, you're done. I loaded your gun." Whoa, wait. No, he said you're done. It's a one bird limit. You're done. And well, wait, man, you know. But most people, unless it's got a band on it, didn't kill a bird. And, you know, and it's the thing in the world guiding with people you don't know. I mean, you don't know if they can, you know, you don't know if they can hit anything. They can't. It don't take you very long to find out. But, you know, it's a tough, tough situation. But in my theory, if six of you went into that blind out there and you come out with six limits and everybody's happy and whatever, and you separated those limits right there, I don't know. Call it party hunting all you want to, but I don't know. That's just duck up to me.
That's the way most people in my part of the world grew up hunting. It's just been our life.
Most people in every part do, you know?
Yeah.
You know, they do. You know, I mean, I've hunted over here to Bush's club over there, the Bush boys over there, and a lot of time they got ducks so good, you know, you take your turns shooting a duck. You know, you shoot one and I shoot one and all this. Yeah, it's that good. And that's kind of fun, you know, but that's a two or three people deal, you know? And you take somebody like we're talking, or you take somebody like my good buddy Brad Albeck down in Oklahoma, the way they hunt, they'll put 14 layout blinds together, you know, and four guys will shoot, you know. So it's really tough, you know, and he does a very good job of it, you know. But, you know, what happens now when you get down to 14 guys hunting out there and you got four birds left? Somebody's got to quit. Somebody's got to quit shooting, you know.
People need their guns unloaded.
Exactly, you know, and that's the legal part. But you know where I'm going with this. This is a tough thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How many times you been in a blind and you needed two ducks and there was five of you in there? Who unloaded that? You know, it don't happen often, you know. Reach up and kill a couple, and boom, 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 it's done, you know. And how many times when that happened did one get killed, you know? And that happens, you know. I mean, one of the conversations, probably one of the most aggravating conversations, the day they come into my shop, we were talking, and we go back to this, you know, when the Fed and the state guy were sitting there talking to me, and we were talking about it, and he goes, "Explain a typical hunt at your club." The Fed did, and I said, "Well, let's just say us three, you two paid for a hunt. We're going to go to my pit. And we go out to my pit out there. I'm going to explain all the safety rules and go through all this. And I'm going to tell you when to shoot, get your head down, blah, 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 just all the normal stuff." And I said, "Here's what's going to happen. If we have three ducks come in, and well, how are you going to call a shot?" I said, "Let's just say we have three ducks come in. We all, and you two get up, boom, 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 boom. I get up, and I see, you know, and I get up there and shoot with you, and we kill all three." And I said, "If there is, and we're all sitting at the same three ducks, and they're all right there together. So I'm going to bring the ducks in, and I'm probably, if there's two drakes and a hen, I'm probably going to give you two the drakes, and I'll take the hen." And he said, "Why are you taking the hen?" And I said, "Because you're the customer, and you can only shoot, you know, two apiece, so I'll take the hen." And he goes, "Well, how do you know you should get the one?" I said, "How would you know?" He goes, "Well, I know the one I killed." And I just said, "BS. No way. You don't know." I said, and then I looked at him and said, how many ducks did you kill last year?" And I think he said 75 or 80. And I said, "Well, I can promise you, you don't know what you killed in that situation. You don't know all the time. You know, unless
you can have confidence
that
you made a good shot on that bird, but that's all you can have any real
confidence.
That's
all you can have. And you don't know that I didn't shoot across the bow, shot the duck. Maybe you shot him in the butt and I shot him in the head or vice versa. Or, you know, one of us cleaned
up." Right.
You don't know that, but you think, "I got that bird." You know, I mean, I don't care. Thousands and thousands of ducks I kill. I can't tell you that every time, you know. I can pretty much tell you what you shoot, but you don't know that all the time. So that's, you know, that is, you can call party hunting all they want to, but to me, you just don't know. Unless you didn't shoot, you don't know. And so I don't know. That's, you know, that was one of the things, you know, and then I read these things, you know, some of them. You know, as I go through some of them, and that's what I said, they're repetitive because of that. You know, it was basically that's what it was. So,
mm-hmm.
Guys saying that, "Oh, I didn't shoot this one, I didn't shoot that, and the F-oils probably did," or whatever, you know. So, that was the case in most of these indictments. There's a large bunch of 5-6 people in the pit, and then turn around and go back in the afternoon with another group of people, that just came in and taking them out. The same, so yeah, there was a lot of it was that. But.
Well, let's walk through a few of these, Jeff.
Okay, well, the first one, it starts off with the normal mumble-jumble. Part one, it says conspiracy to violate the Lacey Act and the Federal False Writing Act, and it goes on for 3 or 4 pages on this explaining what that is. And the Lacey Act is taking an illegal bird across the state line, and the Federal False Writing Act, I can read that one to you. It's a lot of pages of explaining those two. Federal false writing says Title 18, United States Code Section 1001, makes it unlawful for any person in any matter within the jurisdiction of the executive branch of the government, the United States, to knowingly and willfully make or use false writing or document knowing the same to contain any material, false, fictional, or fraudulent statement or entry. The United States Fish and Wildlife is an agency of the executive branch of the government. The United States Fish and Wildlife is responsible for fish, wildlife, plant conservation, blah, 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 and it goes on. So what they're saying is, what this is, it contains to any government thing, anything, from you making a false statement on paper, okay? Whether it's, this is not just pertaining to writing down on, on a kill sheet, how many was there, it pertains to anything. So that's how they threw that in there. Okay. Then it goes on in that count one for that conspiracy. And it means by conspiracy, it's their comments, what I think I killed over. I killed in excess, basically to promote my videos and whatever. Okay, so that's what the first one is what I just said, is the Federal False Writing Act. Then it goes on and gets into some details on that. Then it goes down. It's, like I said, it's basically the same thing, but there's a lot of pages here, so bear with me just a second. Okay. Counts 2 to 13, and then it goes on to 23. Okay, and 2 to 13 basically said, remember the day I told you about taking the guy out that was my daughter's boyfriend and cameraman? He'd never shot any ducks before?
Yeah. Deer hunt.
Yeah, deer hunt. So the first part of this is foil sold and guided on migratory waterfowl hunt during which foils killed ducks and daily bagging on foils and J.E., which is Jeff F. Killed, that's that guy. Killed ducks in excess of the sum of the Renneville baggers and transported the ducks from the blind to the picking shed. Let's start with the beginning of this. The guy's my camera guy. I did not sell him a hunt. Okay? So that's when it says.
Hey, Jeff.
Go ahead.
You, the phone, it sounds like it's.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
You're trying to read that. Go ahead.
Okay. I moved it. Okay. But anyway, during this.
Perfect.
It says in excess of a daily bag limit. That right there was not in excess of the two of us. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This guy said he didn't kill 4 of the 8 ducks that we came in with, which is our limit. Okay? So that made me guilty. All right? Now here's one. Here's one right here. It's a good one right here. Now, I am not going to – what they do in these indictments, they'll put initials, and it's perfectly legal to read them out, but they just put the initials. This next one, I'm not going to – this will incriminate somebody that's not guilty of nothing, and so I'm not going to say their names. Foil sold and guided a migratory waterfowl hunt. Okay, we can stop right there. Did not sell this. This was 2 writers. Now, let me ask you something, Bill. Did you ever see a writer pay for anything? You know what that writer's handshake is. Now, I love these guys, but this is the truth, All right?
Well, that's just part of the thing. And
well, do you think they paid for this?
No. And honestly,
they were writing a story, and they... And they wrote
it. Most of them aren't paid enough for a story to cover a guide fee.
Thank you very much. So, anyway, I got a respect for these guys. And
yeah.
One of them, everybody out there would know, and probably the other one too, so I'm not even saying that, because they did nothing wrong. So the first of this is where, this is why this got thrown out. Yeah. Foyle sold and guided a migratory water plant, which Foyles and these guys killed ducks in excess of the sum of their individual daily bag limits and transported ducks from the blind to the picking shed, which was, so everybody knows, it was a 200-yard, 300-yard ride on a four-wheeler to the picking shed. Okay, now, same hunt. Foyles sold and guided a migratory waterfowl hunt during which Foyles, blah, 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 these guys, killed ducks in excess of the sum of their individual bag limits and transport to ducks. This was the next day, okay? Okay, and that there, somewhere in here, that goes on farther about that. But what that was about, I'll be honest with you, this is where I did wrong, and I'll admit to this. We found this hunt, okay? And the cameraman is a duck hunter. So we told him, I remember it like it's yesterday, he's one of you guys tell you, here, get up here and kill your ducks. Get up here and kill your ducks. We done got enough on film. No, you guys go ahead and kill mine.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'll just go ahead and kill my four ducks. Did I do that? That happened. I'm going to tell you. Me and these two guys killed his four ducks, and that did happen. Did we walk out of that blind with a legal limit for us? Yes, we did. But when they say individual limits, that's where that came into play. And he told them we did this in his immunity plea. Okay? So I'm guilty of sin of that. Are these guys guilty of it? Yeah. I'm not saying who they are, but yeah, they were. But they knew this, you know. But they never did. They tried to indict him, or they tried to talk to him, and that was it. So, okay. Now, this is the day, November 26, 2007. This is a day the undercover feds were there. And remember, I got tipped off, and that's in all the paperwork, too. I got tipped off that we knew they were feds, okay? Foyle sold a guided migratory waterfowl hunt and directed TM, a guy's named Tim McGowan. He's a guy that his 11-year-old kid, to guide the hunt. Remember I told you at this hunt here where I told my buddy to take, you know, one of my guides to take him and told him they're undercover feds and, you know, watch what you're doing. This was the guy. To guide the hunt, during which undercover officers killed ducks in excess of the sum of their individual daily bag limits and with Tim McGowan transported the ducks from the blind to the picking shed, meaning they hopped on the four-wheeler with their ducks and went to the picking shed. Okay. I got to look farther here. They broke that up quite a bit here. That was on a 26th. It tells on farther how they did that. It tells about that. The nine ducks. Remember about the nine ducks? I mean, if you look this up, you can see it. They killed nine ducks, and the guy said he killed one, but they claimed the one. Okay, so that's where that is. Okay, the same day, or the next day when they were there. Foyles sold guided migratory waterfowl hunt and directed Tim McGowan to guide the hunt, during which undercover officers killed ducks in excess of the sum of their individual daily bag limits, and with Tim McGowan transported the ducks to the picking shed. Again, individual limits, party hunting deal.
Right.
And on that same day, now I was in the pit. Remember I told you I was in the pit right next to him. Okay, mm-hmm. before I read this, do you honestly think 200 yards away, me knowing, I mean, this place is on, the red light's on in my club right now. Do you really think we did anything wrong that day? I mean, I got to have a stupid roll of my head if I'd done anything wrong. That's the same day while they're here. Foyle sold and guided, which is wrong. These guys are all buddies. Not one of these paid, okay, because they were, I'll tell you who they are and you'll know why. Foyle sold and guided a migratory waterfowl hunt during which Foyle, JM, which is Jason Marcus, was one of the owner's kid,
mm-hmm.
SH, which is Sean Hammock, Big Sean, and TF,
yep.
Paul Sawyer, who works for Whitetail Properties. He was filming. killed ducks and SS the son of the renovators and bay wagons and transported the ducks to the blind of the picking shed. Okay, this statement right there, this statement is saying, what that's saying is we kill excess. So if you just read that, you would think, well, they must have killed over their limit out there and got caught, the duck, the dumb butts, you know, for, you know, they were up there, you know, and the feds were right there. What's wrong with them? It's not what it is. What all three of these guys, Jason Marshall, Solomon Hammack, and Paul Sawyer, all got immunity. They got off free. But one of them had to say, or two of them, whatever, said, no, I didn't kill four ducks. They only killed two. Would you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was a party hunting ticket, what that is.
Yeah.
Individual, when it goes back to individual daily bagels. Here's another one on 11-8. Four old soul, a guided migratory waterfowl hunter, directed Tim McGowan to guide hunt, during which the undercover officers killed ducks in excess of the sum of their original daily bagware, and with Tim McGowan, there you go. That's the last day they were there. Then you go on the same day, Foyle Stove, a guided migratory waterfowl hunt during which Foyle's Denny Marshy, which was the other owner, Jason Marshy, his son, and Jay, I guess he means me, Jeff Foyle's, killed ducks and assets of the individual dairy back baggage and transport. Okay. That right there, I think, is the end of that hunt when they were there. And I wanted to go over that. And the rest of all these are pretty close to what that right there. Everything I read you so far, what I feel I've done wrong is and I admit to it, we killed the cameraman's birds. Okay?
Yeah.
The rest of these, it's just a party. It's party hunting tickets. Okay, now put that in your head.
Four people, just for instance, four people came out of the pit with 16 ducks, which theoretically is legal, but one of them didn't kill his four. Or
that's what they're saying. I could dig through this, the front part of this. This is all told in the front of this, but it describes that hunt. I'm pretty close to it right here. One second, I'll explain what they say. In the first part of this, I explain all this. Here's one right here. At the first part of this page, they go through more particulars than what the indictments actually are. And like this, it said, on November 27th, on about November 24th, 2007, Foyle sold and guided a migratory hunt club at the club with these two riders, okay? Hunter with Foyles, who controlled the hunt, during which I've guided the hunt, okay? So during the guided hunt on the 24th, Foyles, direction, the group killed at least. Hang on a second. We killed all the people there or something. We killed 22 mallards, it says. And in excess of the individual daily bag during the guided hunt, while being recorded on video, Foyles discussed shooting. Here it is. During the guided hunt that day, November 2014, while being recorded on videotape, Foyles discussed shooting the daily bag limit of a person who was present but not hunting. Okay. After the hunt, on or about November 24, 2007, Foyles prepared and caused the preparation of a false migratory preservation facility records and the record. Okay. This kind of sums up what we're saying. Here's what I did. He probably had the camera running, okay? And maybe they seen this thing. I don't know how it happened. And he told them this. But what happened was, is like I said, we shot the cameraman's birds. He said, go ahead and shoot our birds, okay? Now, he said, jump on the bridge. I'm not going to jump off the bridge. So I'm not blaming him. You know what I'm saying? We did
right.
That. Okay, then we went to the picking shed, and we tagged them. And we wrote down our records. Four mallards for me, four for this guy, four for this guy, and, well, I don't even think it came up with a minute. And it had something, I think, I don't know, Cole was with us, somebody was with us. Anyway, come up to where we wrote ducks down on the cameraman's name. That's the Federal False Writing Act, because we shot his birds. Okay?
Wow.
That's where this all comes to play right here. I'm trying to find it. I'm getting close to it here. I want to read what they said on their hunt when they went. Okay. Here we go. Okay, they did. Yeah, here's another one. Okay, here it is. Right here. I'm sorry I'm taking too much time. On or about November 28th, 2007, which is the day the undercover guys are there, Cordell sold a migratory hunt, waterfowl hunt, the club, and directed Tim McGowan to guide the hunt. Two undercover officers participated in the hunt, having paid $250 each for the guided other services. Well, you taxpayers paid for that. Thank you very much. Prior to November 28, 2007, guide hunt, Boyle told one of the undercovers that he would send another hunter, Jason Marshuse, the owner's son, to accompany the undercover's offer so that the undercover offers could kill Jason Marshuse and Tim McGowan's limited bus. Okay. Here's what, do you honestly think, knowing this, I told him that? Here's what I told him. I said, I'm going to send Jason out there. I'm going to send, he's the owner's son. He wanted to go hunting. Tim's out there, too. And I said was, that's eight more ducks you can kill. Follow what I'm saying? That's eight total ducks you can kill. Eight more total mallards. Cause, and I keep saying four piece because we only, it's basically just mallards. So that's what I said. So they took it from me saying you can shoot their ducks. I didn't say you could shoot their ducks. I said you could, that's eight more you guys can kill. So you can be out there longer and have more of your hunt.
That's something we all, it's not necessarily so we can shoot more. I will call, if we have a bunch of birds, I'm going to call people and say, hey, come on.
Thank you very much. That's exactly, we were, it's November 28th. We're in the best part of the hunt right there. I put them in the best pit out there. The owner's son, he's wanting to go, you know, and the guide's out there, you know. So it's just, I don't know. Call it party hunting, whatever you want to. But those guys, do you think those two guys, that's the next question I wished I would have known, was I would they would have put on here, did those two take a gun? Did they shoot? You know, damn right they shot. It was eight more. You follow where I'm going with this? So this is the kind of crap that just gets under my skin. I did not tell them. What I told them was eight more you kill. Okay. During the guided hunt on about November 28th, at Tim McGowan's direction, an officer killed six mallard ducks, two in excess, some of their individual daily bag lists, which is two apiece. They killed six, okay? Killed six hens, three of them out there hunting. Well, four, actually. Now, so that's not, I don't know, where I went to school, I'm not very smart. I wasn't good at math, but if you can kill two apiece or three of you, that's six, okay? And if there's four of you, that's eight. So to me, there's two less. Now, this is the one, remember when I told you, he said he didn't kill the duck, and it was a mallard hen at the very beginning. This is the duck. We're talking. After the 28th guided hunt, Boyles and Tim McGowan prepared and caused the preparation of false migratory birds. Okay, on the record, false writing act. That's where we wrote those down, two for you. Okay. Also, on about November 8th, Boyles sold and guided another migratory hunt to club during the hunt. That's the one we were talking about earlier. And we the hunt we talked about where I was hunting at the club, and they said we could, you know, kill over the individual limits with those guys. And then we wrote them down. Right? That's another one. Okay, man. Anyway. And it just goes on and on and on. But I mean, I could take up your whole day reading this, but that's all, almost all these are. And let me see. I'm going to try to think. If I could find this DM, this Derek McDonald with that boy, that's what I was looking for in here, where they had his name. One of these indictments got his name, where he like killed his, you know. There it is. Anyway, and then it goes on. The next 14 to 23 goes on to the same stuff day in, day out. You know, it's the same stuff right there. And all these are on, I can count the dates, and they're about 6 days. So, Boyles has killed four mallard ducks and one greenwing teal, then MMTN, CF, JMBR, and Sean Hammond. And he's killed four mallards, and Brian Meredith killed four Mired Ducks, and then Paul Sarda killed four Mired Ducks. When the truth and fact, four else. When the truth and fact, they don't know that. There was nothing tells them that. What happened here in this hunt? Said false report. Well, that foils had killed. This is on 12/15 of 2007. Foils had killed four mallard ducks and one green-winged teal. Okay, I'd say that's one short of limit. Okay, right. Brian M.M. and I won't tell you his name. Tim McGowan, C.F., which is Cole, J.M., which is my son-in-law, Brian Rager, and Sean Hammack had each killed four mallard ducks. That Brian Meredith killed four mallard ducks, and that Paul Sawyer had killed three mallard ducks. When in truth and fact, Foyles, Tim McGowan, blah, 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 all these guys here killed ducks and asses of some of their individuals way back, and Brian Rager and Paul Sawyer did not hunt. BM was not president. Brian Meredith was not president. Sean Hattie did not kill any ducks. That day right there, okay, this guy, BM, it's Brian Meredith. He was on my pro staff. Day that we hunted right there, we were filming, okay, and I had Paul Sawyer and Brian Reniger were camera guys, were filming, and Big Sean didn't figure it out at the time. So I don't know where Sean comes into this, but I can promise you this, if he was in that pit, he shot his duck, but he got immunity too. And those two camera guys, we probably, this was like a buddy hunt deal here, we were filming, and we probably did shoot their limit. We probably did. You know, there's not a doubt about it. Me right along with them probably shot their two limits. They bought now. Did they have license and all? Yep, they did. Am I saying that's right? No, but I'm, you know, we did that. And with that, this one guy that's pro staffer was mad because we sent him to another pit, okay? We sent him to another pit right here, and at the end of the day, when everybody come in out of four different pits and everything, and they came in out of his pit, he went home. They came out of his pit up there. I don't know what he'd killed, but that pit had a limit, a pit limit. You know what I'm saying? But right. He went home. And we did write his name down for four ducks or whatever it was for a limit that day, because that's what the pit was, even though he let you know, he should have took him out or whatever, and he said he killed one duck. And he's pretty mad, just Ronald, because he didn't get to go in the best place. He just stayed a couple hours, they killed him. So, anyway, did it happen? Yeah, that happened. So, and then that's kind of, that was the last one right there. And the rest, I could read you all these. It's all the same stuff in just a couple, like 5-6 days. So they took every one of them, and that was all the counts.
Well, hold your place right there. We will jump back into them next week, finish them up. How about that?
That's good. Now, with this, though, Rocky, before we leave, though, I mean, I'm reading you stuff here that is just exactly what it is. And these guys, when you talk about, a lot of people don't know what party hunting is. I hope you just realize it if you don't. And what I said there, I did it. I shot their duck. I shot those camera guys up, and I am dead guilty about that, so. Write me a ticket for it.
They
had a lot of ink in the pen.
I think next week we should probably consider spending about 10 or 15 minutes on party hunting, how to hunt with a group and not be in a position to get tickets, because a lot of people still don't get it and don't understand it. Jeff, I had some anecdotes about people, some outdoor riders hunting together as friends, sometimes even on a business type hunt, but being gentlemen about it. An outdoor rider who's dead today, but was one of the finest waterfowl shots I've ever seen. He and another rider who's still very much alive was in a blind with me and a couple, Jared Perkins and some other people. It's been years ago, so statute of limitations is off, and the man did the shooting's dead. So. But we're sitting there, and I think we had four more ducks to shoot, and the other rider said, y'all, let's let X shoot these last four. It's just always so fun to watch him shoot. And Buddy Harris was in the blind, Rocky, and this rider stood up and shot a pair of ducks that were out there. And we're hunting in the woods, but I said, we won't call a shot, just shoot. He stands up, boom, boom, they both drop. A few minutes later, here come two more. He stands up, boom, boom. And Buddy looked up. He said, by God, that was 50 yards if it was an inch. And Roger says, oh, no, buddy, those were more like 43. And he, but he says,
yeah.
Well, I don't give a damn. If you could kick field goals like that, you'd be a rich sumbitch.
Yeah. So, and I already know who you're talking about because he hunted with me. I already know this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And with this hunt here, you know, this is there's a piece of this that, of course, this part never comes out. But my son could tell you this because he hunted with these guys. One of them, and I'm not, like I said, the name ain't coming out. But one of them, the next day we hunted, the kids come down there, Cole, his buddies, and they wanted to see him. We done kill, and he wanted to stay and kill theirs with them. We walked out of the pit. You know, so none of that gets told how we, you know, we have done it. Yeah, we could have done that. We could have sat right there. We could have done whatever. But there's so much stuff that didn't happen, you know, like that, that you know, I just, and I'm not trying to make a light of light what did happen, but when you're talking about his party hunt, at the end of this deal, I think I told you this, when the undercover guy at the end of all this, when I was out of prison and all this, he came to my shop and it was two cassette tapes. And I don't know if you remember this or not, and I know I told it on there. When I got done, I went to hand the tape and I held my arm back and I just said, what were you trying to prove? What are you trying to do with this whole thing? Why did you do this? And he just looked at me and he said, we're going to stop party hunting and we're going to stop guides from killing hunters' ducks, which is, as you read through here, you kind of see where they were headed. That's. Mm-hmm. I just looked at him and I said, you ain't never got me the one. Just too big of a deal. You can try all you want to, but you ain't going to stop it.
Right. So,
anyway, I honestly believe myself, if you're all hunting like that together and you come out with unlimited, I mean, I don't see where you could ever prove that who didn't, who did, whatever. But if, you know, when they put enough pressure on you, you know, that's what happened. You know, so what was really aggravating of that hunt was they didn't even kill their total limit for those people. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't even a total pit limit, you know. So
getting into serious technicalities.
The way I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, I did tell him in the courtroom that day. I said, and when I went to sign my agreement, I did say, you know, I did tell him. I said, look, dude, you didn't kill them ducks. I just watched you in Canada. You weren't that good a shot. My lawyer goes, just sign the paper. Yeah. So, yeah. Always got to be us. But anyway, so that kind of gives you an idea. And like I said, I could read on for however, it's just another day, another hunt, just like what we just said, you know. So it is what's going on with that. So, I did wrong. You know, I meant totally to it. I did wrong, you know. I did that, you know, and I know there was days in there, you know, I guided hunters and they couldn't hit anything, you know, and I shot them for them, whatever, you know. I mean, that's just, you know, and anybody in the guiding game would understand that doesn't make anything right, you know. It's not like they all sat down in the bottom of the pit and said, okay, Jeff, we paid you $250 to go hunt, you shoot our ducks for us. That's not the way it happened. But I shot with them a lot of times, yeah.
Well, we'll finish them up next week, and we'll start progressing through the story once again. Bill, thank you for being here. Jeff, enjoyed it. It's nice to go through these and you kind of give your side to what actually happened on that day. I want to talk about immunity a little bit more next week. It's something that kind of piques my interest because it's a big part of this story. When you walk into a lawyer's office and there's a huge executive desk that's stacked way over the top of your head, full of immunity papers, right?
Mm-hmm. That was pretty overwhelming, especially when you started going through them. Yeah,
and you start seeing some of those names. But
yeah,
we'll talk more about that.
I'll go to my attorney and I'll try to get all that, you know, try to gather up all those, you know, so I can read a few of them to you so you understand it. But what I just read you was mostly the same thing you'll read in that, but just who said what, you know.
Like I said, I want to just the general topic of immunity. I want to spend some time on that next week. So we'll finish up the indictments and talk about immunity and go back into the story next week. But again, thank you guys. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition
of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.